You are Locked On Washington Football Team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, it is a new edition of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm your host, Chris Russell. Coming up in today's show, you'll hear from head coach Ron Rivera. His entire press conference with reporters via Zoom and WashingtonFootball.com coming up shortly. As well, a new broadcast team for the radio for the Washington Football Team. Details on that in just a sec. This is the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm your host again, Chris Russell. Appreciate you being with us. As always, you can hit me up at WrestleMania09@gmail.com. That's WrestleMania09@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, WrestleMania621, at WrestleMania621. Is my Twitter, and of course, the Twitter for the podcast, we've changed it. Yes, we have. It is at Locked WFT Pod, at Locked WFT, standing for Washington Football Team, of course, Pod, at Locked WFT Pod. And away we go. All right, let's get to this. New broadcast team. We already knew Julie Donaldson was going to be in the broadcast booth. Today, the team announced that Bram Weinstein is going to be the new play-by-play voice, and D'Angelo Hall will be joining them in the broadcast booth as the analyst. Now, it's kind of interesting because the team, when they made the announcement, and I don't know the reason for this. They just, you know, the headline is announce additions of D'Angelo Hall and Bram Weinstein. And then a subheading. Hall and Weinstein are the first new hires for Senior Vice President of Media and Content, Julie Donaldson. And then it leads off with that they've hired, you know, D'Angelo Hall, longtime 10-year Washington defensive back, native Virginian, and longtime franchise fan and sports broadcasting veteran Bram Weinstein will join the Washington media team. The two will work with Julie Donaldson, three-person booth, team's game day radio broadcast, take part in various parts of the team's weekly television broadcast programming with specifics coming up. Now, it doesn't say in the press release that Bram is the play-by-play voice, but later on, in this particular same press release, he said, quote, since 1979, only two people have had the privilege of holding the position of play-by-play voice of the Washington Football Team. With that in mind, and knowing what this team means to our community, I am humbled and honored to be given this opportunity. This is the fulfillment of a dream. And then they both paid homage, D'Angelo and Bram, to Julie, and kind of the way that they're going. I have zero idea what they mean in the promotional type stuff that they have distributed about, you know, a fresh new I mean, other than they hired a guy in Bram who, again, is a very accomplished broadcaster, but to my knowledge, and I could be missing something, but I talked to somebody, they didn't know of any play-by-play experience either. So I'm not aware of any play-by-play experience, but obviously when you are a SportsCenter anchor for 7 or 8 years or whatever it was, and you covered the Redskins back before then, and you've been back in this market with two different radio stations and two different radio shows, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, respected by the, I guess, the organization, and you're not really controversial. You know, I've rubbed people the wrong way there, okay, because they don't like strong opinions. You know, they want opinions, but they don't like strong opinions, right? Or at least over the years. They didn't like criticism, like heavy criticism. And there was plenty of reason to heavily criticize. So I've rubbed a lot of people wrong there. You know, Bram, to my knowledge, doesn't really do that. Now, that doesn't, I mean, everybody's style is a little bit different, right? You know, everybody's style is a little bit different. And, you know, I certainly wish I would have been able to bite my tongue on some things. But when you're living this life every day and seeing what goes on and knowing what goes on and knowing the turmoil and the dysfunction, it's really, 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 really hard to constantly bite your tongue when you're constantly asked to opinionize and opine on it. Trust me, you're better off not doing what I've done in the past and what I, from time to time, still do, which is be blunt and really honest, overly honest, because that only gets you in trouble. Now, the one thing that I would point out, I mean, obviously D'Angelo's role makes total sense. I don't quite understand the whole idea of let's hire somebody, again, if Bram doesn't have the play-by-play experience, that part I don't quite get. And maybe I'm missing something. I'm not aware of anything. I mean, again, ESPN, he's done talk shows, he's been a reporter, but I'm not aware of any beat reporting. Play-by-play experience. I could be missing something that I don't know about, but whatever. You know, like Grant Paulson, who, you know, is one of my best friends, apparently he was a finalist. I haven't even talked to Grant about it. I mean, obviously I knew he was very interested in doing it. But Grant Paulson was apparently a finalist for the position, according to J.P. Finley. And, you know, he's done Arena Football League play-by-play. He's done high school play-by-play. He's done some baseball play-by-play. He's done XFL play-by-play for as long as that lasted. You know, so he's done play-by-play, football play-by-play. And, you know, I guess it's good that he... I just don't quite get that whole thing. I don't know. Maybe there was a reason. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to find out. Also, what this kind of means is, you know, Chris Cooley is going to be out of the booth, which I had heard several weeks ago, and multiple sources had told me that. I just couldn't get it really confirmed because I didn't think it was fair to Cooley, to announce that in case something changed or whatever. But apparently, for whatever reason they have, Cooley was not included in this new booth. And certainly, again, D'Angelo Hall is going to be a very good addition. I don't know what this means for Rick Doc Walker, the former Hog, you know, extension and longtime analyst and sideline reporter. I don't know what they're going to do in that role. But if you have Julie, Bram, and D'Angelo on the broadcast, you could have a sideline reporter still, certainly. But I just, you know, I would have thought they would have announced that as part of the new team. So I don't want to jump to conclusions, but it probably doesn't feel like Doc is going to be involved in that. And, you know, the way the press release is kind of written is the first new hires, meaning there's going to be more, is the way I would take it. I could be wrong, but there could be more. So, and I don't know what this means for D'Angelo at NFL Network. I know Deion Sanders is leaving NFL Network. I'm not sure if D'Angelo is going to be able to have still a Saturday role. I'm not sure if they're doing road games at the road stadium or if they're doing it like baseball is doing it and hockey from a studio. That I'm not sure of either. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with this new broadcast booth. All right. So that is the big news from Tuesday. Ron Rivera spoke as well. On Monday, you will hear that entire conversation, including my question, next, right here, on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. All right, I'm Chris Russell, back on the Washington Football Team podcast. Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Football Team, speaking with reporters as camp will transition from phase one into phase two. Helmets on later on this week. Media out there. No pads just yet. You're going to have to wait some time for that. Everything's still getting settled, but we're starting to ramp up. Ron Rivera, now.
Just want to open this up by saying, on Friday I made a decision that I believe was in the best interest of this organization. our players and our fans going forward. Very difficult decision. You know, anytime you have to release a very talented young football player, it's always a tough decision. But this type of circumstances, this type of situation, we take those allegations very, very seriously. And, you know, we had to make a decision going forward. And sometimes it's one of these things that there are processes, there are situations, there are circumstances that you go through. Each situation, each circumstance is unique. Each one will be handled and dealt with differently to what we believe is best for the organization going forward. And that's probably the most important thing. I talked to the players yesterday, basically told them that that I had made a decision that I believe was in the best interest of our organization. And if it was the right decision, we will benefit from it. And if it's not, it will be on me. I will take full responsibility as we go forward to try and make sure we do things the right way. And we'll go from there. So with that, I want to open it up.
Hey, Ron, Sam Fortier with the Washington Post. I was wondering if you could kind of take us through, you know, when you first found out about Darius' situation and kind of your timeline through your process of ultimately making a decision.
Sam, I really want to get into that just because of the fact that the statement that we put out really details what we did for the most part. And so, you know, I don't want to get back into a situation, circumstances. As I said, though, each situation is unique, and each situation will be we will be dealt that way as we go forward.
And could you kind of tell us about the decision to activate Ruben yesterday and kind of what you can expect from him moving forward?
Well, the biggest thing about Ruben was in watching him the last 8 days, not last 8 days, probably what amounts to about the last 9 days, 4 days on, day off, and then 4 days on, he did extremely well. And the thing you always worry about is the next day, how does he feel? How has his body reacted to the amount of work he did? And he really had no issues. And each day he seemed to get stronger and stronger and more confident. So we activated him yesterday, had an opportunity to watch him, and he moved around very well. We put him in limited action to kind of ease him back into it. And he'll get more today as we continue to go forward. But yeah, he was prepared and ready to go, and we're pretty excited for Ruben.
Thank you.
Hey, Ron. John Keim, ESPN. Were there other factors that led into the decision to release Darius, or was it just about these incidents?
That's something I really don't think we should get into. So I'm just going to move on from that.
Okay. And then as far as just, you know, since you've been here, you've had to deal with a lot of things outside of the football field. What's that been like? How has it been difficult? Has it been draining? What's that been like?
It has been, it's been part of what I have to do. You know, as we look at the entire situation and circumstances of trying to reestablish who we are as a football team, there are going to be some decisions that have to be made that are tough and difficult. There's some things that, you know, we will continue to grow on and improve. And, it is hard, but, you know, the thing that I've got to do and the thing that we all have to understand and I try to tell the players is that when we decide to do something, when we think about what we're going to do, we have to honestly think, is what I'm about to do truly going to help us? Is it going to benefit us? And how is it going to benefit us? And in this situation, in these circumstances, I think, you know, making those decisions to do what I believe is right, I'll continue to do. And at the end of the day, as I said, I'll own those decisions.
This is a quick question about the linebacker group. You've talked a little bit about Cole Holcomb possibly playing at the Sam. You've mentioned John Bostic and Sean Dion Hamilton in the middle. But how do you see the Will position exactly working out? Or what is your vision for that one?
You know, we've got a good group. I really do believe that. I think we've got a good veteran group of guys. To really say and start pigeonholing guys into positions right now is a little premature, to be honest with you, Reed. We've got to see how all these guys mesh together. You know, we've moved Thomas Davis around. We're going to move Ruben around. Kevin Pierre-Lewis, who recently signed, is another young man. We're going to move around and really see where all these guys fit, where all these pieces fit together. It's going to be an interesting battle. I really do believe that just because of what we've seen from these guys. This is a good young group of players, sprinkled in some crafty veteran guys, and it's a good group. So I'm excited to watch them and see and, you know, what really is going to be the best combination. And truthfully, the best combination may be you may have three different guys starting on the base package, two different guys starting on the sub package, and you might have another sub package where you have two other guys. So this might be linebacker by committee because it is a very talented group.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ree.
Hey, Ron, it's JP Finley. Coincidence this or not, it's hard to kind of ignore that Darius Geis gets released on Friday and Reuben Foster gets activated, you know, about 48 hours later. Have you had a conversation with Reuben considering his past? I know you weren't here when he was claimed, but it was a really controversial decision back then. And just how do you reconcile all of that going forward?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, Reuben was claimed here. And as he went through the process, you know, certain things came out and he had his moment to be able to settle himself in and show that he was exonerated for the most part. And again, you know, it's always a difficult situation when you come through these things. But Reuben and I have talked about some things, some specific stuff. I'm not going to get into details. But the one thing that, you know, Reuben has really shown since I've been here is that he is doing things the right way. He's doing things the way that we need him to do. And he's been excellent. He really has done a great job in terms of his rehab. He's done a great job in terms of working with our coaches. So I'm excited for the young man's opportunity. You know, here's a guy that needed a change of scenery. And I think that may be one of the things that has truly benefited him. And who knows, you know, that's what might be needed in Darius's case, is an opportunity to get a change of scenery.
And it, just from a strictly football perspective, how big of a potential asset is Reuben Foster for you?
Well, he can be a very big asset just because of his ability to make plays, his explosiveness as a football player, his explosive plays that he can make. So, you know, when you have a guy like that that has that kind of ability and he's back, it could be a very good thing. I mean, you look at the Dallas situation, you know, they went through the same thing with their young linebacker having almost the same type of an injury. So, you know, that's what we're hoping for is an opportunity for Reuben to get back on the field and prove that he's back and that he's the kind of guy that we hope he can be for us.
And talking to the players, they just talk about how Dwayne has really taken on the leadership role from the quarterback position, has been more assertive, you know, more in command of the team. And I'm curious, you know, I know you were interacting with him through the offseason, what you told him about the importance of that and maybe helping him to a position where he felt like he could occupy that role.
Well, I think the one thing that I did say to Dwayne in one of the opportunities that we had when he had come in to first see me was that, you know, being the leader is not just about what you do on the football field, but it's what you do off the football field as well. And he's taken that to heart, and he's done a great job. I mean, you know, he's competing. He's doing the things that we need him to do. He's being very professional about the way he's handling himself. And he's really been very thoughtful in terms of his actions. So that's one of the things that's been a big plus. It really has, and been really pleased with what we've gotten from him.
What will we see in a Ron Rivera practice? When are we when we come out to see practice, what will we
The biggest thing is that I want you to see tempo. I want to see you guys. I want you guys to be able to say, man, they practice fast. Man, they move from one drill to the other. To me, that's one of the things that you have to be able to do, and that is play with an up-tempo. Well, the only way to do that is you've got to practice with an up-tempo. You've got to be able to understand how things have to be done. We're not going to get an opportunity to play any preseason games. So when we practice, we've got to practice faster. We've got to practice quicker. We have to practice at an up-tempo every opportunity we get. And that's what I hope you guys see. And if you don't, let me know, because that's something we need to get corrected, because that is really the only way you're going to be able to simulate anything right now as you start leading up to your first regular season game.
When it comes to cutting Darius, but then keeping someone like Cody Latimer, who's also, you know, facing some serious charges from something earlier this summer, what is kind of the difference in those two situations there, where you move on from one guy but keep another?
Well, the biggest thing is when the Cody Latimer situation came out, there were some things that still we hadn't known. So what happened was he goes onto the commissioner's exempt list, and so we're now in a position where we're just going to continue to monitor it and see what happens, and we'll go from there with Cody. As I said, and again, understand that we will look at each situation, each set of circumstances individually, and we'll go through our process and make our assessments.
And then football-wise at running back, with Darius gone, you know, Adrian's still there, of course, but it looks like Bryce and Antonio are slated for a lot more work back there. How comfortable are you leaning on two guys who don't have an NFL snap yet and giving them, you know, that much exposure early on?
Well, and don't forget Peyton Barber. We feel very good about the group of guys that we have. We really do. We think this is a group of guys that are talented. You know, and again, it was a very difficult decision. Trust me, it really was. I mean, you know, Darius is a gifted young football player. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, we're trying to get ready for a season. And one thing that we can't handle are situations and circumstances that are beyond our realm. You know, he's going to have to deal with something for a while, and his opportunities to get prepared and ready for the season would be limited. So we're looking at getting ready for, you know, for in the next 5 weeks to play our opener. So with those guys, you know, you're going to have guys that are going to get a lot of opportunities between now and the opener. And we'll get an opportunity to see which guys will be the best ones for us.
Logan Thomas was brought off the COVID reserve list. Just wondering what his status is or how he's kind of doing physically. And what did you kind of learn about dealing with players who may contract or who test positive for COVID because of this situation?
Well, the biggest thing we learned is that you have to go through the process when guys are testing positive for COVID. You've got to be safe, and they've got to handle their situation, which Logan did a great job of getting himself healthy and ready to roll and following the directions, of our medical staff. As far as Logan's concerned, is we saw a guy that's starting to blossom and develop into the tight end position. Got a chance to watch some pretty good tape on him against he was with Detroit. And we really felt this is a guy that has a skill set that we're looking for to be one of our tight ends. We're going to be a group that, we're going to use one tight end, two tight ends, maybe three tight ends, just depending on circumstances and situations. He's a guy that's going to be lining up in the down position, be a guy that's going to be lining up in an up position. He's got enough athleticism that he can be dynamic. So we're pretty excited about who he is. One thing I always tell people, too, don't forget he's only been playing tight end for a few years because he was a quarterback. So he's got a tremendous understanding and feel for football, especially the offensive side of football. So that's going to help him as he continues to develop into his role as a tight end.
All right, head coach Ron Rivera meeting with the media coming up next. You'll hear his answer to my question. That's next on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. All right, I'm Chris Russell. We finish it up with more of head coach Ron Rivera.
And as a separate topic, I know we've asked you over time about a ton of these defensive linemen. I don't know how much we've asked about Montez Sweat. I'm just curious what you see with this guy. I see a smile starting to come across your face. So what are your thoughts on this player entering his second year?
He's a guy that we liked when he was coming out in the draft. And so seeing that he's here and got an opportunity to watch him practice the last couple of days, it's pretty exciting. He's a tremendously gifted athlete. And again, going back and watching his tape and just seeing how he was growing and developing. I'll be honest, just kind of going back and looking at him from his college tape and remembering him, putting his hand in the ground and how explosive he was off the line of scrimmage, and then seeing it again, with his hand in the ground, knowing that this is a guy that I think with his ability and Chase's ability and that whole group of guys we have, we have the ability to have a special unit, a good solid group of defensive linemen. It's pretty exciting to watch these guys practice. And I know it's just practice, but when you start throwing in, Deron and Jonathan and Matt and Tim, and Ryan Kerrigan, the Wiley veteran who's really kind of put his arm around Chase, which has really been kind of neat to watch. And Ryan Anderson, I mean, we've got a solid core of guys that, as we're building this unit, you look to the future and say it could be very bright as a group of guys. They're all going to get opportunities. We're going to roll these guys through. We don't want a guy to go in and play 65, 70 snaps a game. We want a guy to be fresh and come in and play 25 or 35 snaps, and when it really counts, when we really need him, we need him to be explosive and be able to make plays. And I think, again, as you look at the group, you feel pretty strong about them right now, and hopefully we can stay healthy as we go through camp and get ready for the regular season.
Regarding Darius, I know in the team statement it said after learning of the allegations that he was excused from all team activity, were you able to have any sort of back and forth with him about the allegations and the charges?
The biggest thing I'll tell you, Nikki, again, in the statement we just talked about the fact that we have conversation with him on Friday morning. And from what we learned later on, we made our decision.
For the quarterbacks, how do you plan on divvying the reps with them as practice ramps up?
Well, the biggest thing that we've got to do is not just making sure we divvy up the reps as evenly as possible, but we divvy up who they work against. This could be a very interesting challenge for us because of Alex Smith. If Alex is healthy and continues to get healthy and we do activate him, he's going to be in the throes of this competition. So it's going to unfold, I think, very nicely for us as a football team, because competition is only going to make you better. It's going to push the young guys as well. So I just feel really good about what we're going to be doing as we start going forward. And it's going to be it'll be a very challenging situation to make sure everybody's reps are equitable. and their competition is the same.
Hi, Ron. I just wanted to ask about Alex Smith. You mentioned kind of the way Reuben Foster was reacting after those 8 days. Just where is Alex after those 8 days? And is his, you mentioned last week how his leg was kind of responding day after day. Is that still happening? Yep.
Yes, it is. It's still happening. You know, it's a little bit more difficult with Alex because of the specific movements. We've got to continue to watch and see as he continues to get stronger and stronger with him. The only real way he's going to really be able to know is by doing all the drills. And that's one of the things that, you know, Ryan Vermillion and his staff have been working with Alex is get him the opportunity to do all the specific quarterback drills. And so as he continues to go through them and we continue to watch, we notice he is getting stronger and stronger. His movements are all coming back. But again, we don't want to put him out on the field. We don't want to expose him until the proper opportunity comes. So again, we're just trying to be smart. We're trying to be very diligent in this situation because of Alex's circumstances. And he's done everything we've asked. So he's been tremendous right now. And, you know, we expect it to continue to develop and grow. And, you know, when the moment is right, you know, at the appropriate time, we'll make our decision.
Thank you. Hey, Ron, good morning. It's Chris Russell from SI.com and 106.7 The Fan. This is more big picture, and maybe it's a little early, but there's a lot of talk about college football being either delayed until the spring or canceled altogether. Just kind of curious how much thought you put into that and the complications from a football aspect and building a roster and managing a roster in the future, something like that might bring.
Well, you know, it's been interesting because Kyle Smith and I have been talking about, you know, how he plans to do it. The way he's going to set things up. And it's been real interesting in terms of our conversation. You know, he's got a plan. He's got an idea. He's got a couple of ideas of the best way to handle it. And now it's just a matter of waiting to see which one's going to unfold. But, you know, they've been working on some of the other things that they've been doing right now. They've been doing some of the Zoom calls with the colleges, talking to the folks there about their players that they have on their roster right now. So that's one of the things that our guys have looked at doing going forward. And we'll see what happens. And if it turns out that, you know, like a lot of the other leagues, college leagues, that is, conferences, that they're going to play in the early spring, then it's going to really change some things. And who knows? We'll have to see how it's going to affect everything that we do in the offseason.
Thank you, Ron.
All right, and that's going to do it for us right here on the Washington Football Team podcast. My thanks to Ron Rivera as well, Washington Football .com and the Washington Football Team public relations staff as well. Tom Brock Plyman at 106.7 The Fan for helping us turn around the audio. As well, coming up in the next episode, we will have Dwayne Haskins, starting quarterback of the Washington Football Team. Make sure you stay tuned for that. It's all coming up right here on Locked On WFT. Adios.